Largely, these candles are petroleum based. So you're aerosolizing petroleum. And how did it get there? Chemicalized soup in order for this candle to be created. So you're aerosolizing all of this stuff when you think you're doing a beautiful thing by using a candle, right? And of course, that has links to asthma, respiratory issues, headaches, nausea in some severe cases. And the thing about most of this stuff is the majority of the people won't quote unquote notice it, right? But that's a bad way to look at it. You don't want to wait until an acute situation is debilitating you, because a lot of times the cumulative body burden is what kind of riddles all of these things.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Breathcast on Take a Deep Breath. My name is Mike Mayer. I'm going to be your breathwork coach and host. And I have got a very big surprise for you today. I've got Darren O'Lean, who you might recognize from Down to Earth with Zac Efron. And he also has his own podcast called The Darren O'Lean Show. And he has a new book out called Fatal Conveniences, which is also the title of his podcast, which you absolutely should check out if you haven't done so already. I'm really lucky because I got to bump into Darren last year in London and was able to convince him to come on my podcast. I'd seen him do some breathwork stuff with Laird Hamilton, the big wave surfer. So he's on YouTube talking about breathwork, doing different breathing exercises. So I knew it was going to be a good conversation, but we veer off into the fatal conveniences. So I'll let him define what a fatal convenience is. But just looked at it this way, it's like something that we've done short term to kind of benefit us a little bit, but actually long term, it's hurting us. He's got a better definition of it. And we're going to go deep today. So for you biohackers out there that love this sort of stuff, you're going to be in Disneyland. And for those of you that are here normally for the breath work, there is some breath work here as well. But we are going to talk about things that are radically hurting us right now that we're not even necessarily aware of. We're talking earbuds, the Bluetooth stuff, what that's doing to the brain, cling film, foil candles in your house, giving you more pollution than a dirty, polluted city. Loads of stuff like that. Things that you're thinking, oh, come on, Christmas trees, plastic Christmas trees, killing us. You think, oh, come on, Darren, I say his name properly, Darren is going to explain to us what's going on, how this is even possible, how it's happened, and what we can blink and do about it. So I started listening to his Fatal Conveniences podcast last year after I met him. And as my girlfriend says, he's ruined Christmas because we've got rid of all the tinsel, all the plastic stuff that's just filling the air with phthalates and all these things you're going to learn about. So I highly encourage you to, after you've watched this, go and get his book. His book is out today. Follow his socials, Darren O'Lean, DarinOlien, on Instagram. He has a YouTube channel and he has his podcast, which is the Darren O'Lean Show. And there's a subsection of that called Fatal Conveniences. So very interesting one. Really lucky to get him. Big, big guy. I think one of the biggest followings of somebody I think we've ever had, 558,000 followers on Instagram, which is just incredible, that he would give us some time. So I really feel that this podcast is starting to grow. It's get wings now. People are more willing to come on here with the bigger audiences. So watch this space, because I think we've got a lot more things like this lined up soon, which is really freaking cool. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by The Breath Source. The Breath Source is the world's number one first truly co-creative app, which basically means a load of breathwork people got together, instructors, influencers, whatever you want to call us, them, and we're all delivering content to it. So it's been called the YouTube of breathwork, but in a very safe place with a filtering system where not any old Tom, Dick and Harry can get on, you know, people that have been pre-qualified to come on here to teach beautiful breathing exercises. And so you might join because of me, and then you might find a Gray Cause who teaches Qigong, or a Jesse Kuma with the language of breath, or Dan Vadenay, or so many others, so many beautiful instructors. So be sure to click on the link below. You can get started for free today after you've listened to this podcast, obviously. Get started. And for a couple of dollars a week, you unlock everything. And there are so many breathing exercises on there, beautifully organized. If you've only got 5 minutes, there's a whole tab for breath work under 5 minutes. If you've only got 15 minutes, you get the point. It's a really great usable app. It's beautiful. I'm on there. My friends are on there. Come and join us over on the Breath Source. All my new breathing exercises go only on there. So you will want to join us on the app and have some fun. And like I say, today's episode is made possible by the sponsorship of the Breath Source. So thank you, Breath Source, for sponsoring us. Let's get stuck into Doran and the podcast. Fatal conveniences. Grab a pen and paper. Don't blame the messenger of me for what I'm about to share with you, but I think it's something which you'll thank Doran for in the years to come if you pay attention to some of the things he's saying. So let's get stuck on. Cheers.
Doran, thank you, my friend, so much for coming on the Take a Deep Breath podcast. You have been in my mind since we met at the Health Optimization Summit last June. And my girlfriend is calling you the fun police and telling me to stop listening to your podcast because you're ruining Christmas. You're like the Grinch that ruined Christmas. Because she was pregnant when we had Christmas last year. And I was like, there's no way we're getting that Christmas tree out of the loft now. We're getting a real Christmas tree. And so we're going to dig into all of this today, dude. So I want to kick off by asking you a big question.
Yeah.
What is humanity's first fatal convenience, do you think? What do you think it might have been?
Oof. Humanity's number one fatal convenience?
What's one of the early things that you think we started to do to mess ourselves up?
Well, certainly one of the first things that pops up, you know, the Industrial Revolution created a lot of advancements, obviously, a lot of conveniences. You know, certainly throughout the world, but here in America, we founded our country on 90% of the people were growing food, were farmers, right? And now 2% of the population are farmers, and they provide the food for everyone else, and it's sprayed and monocropped and all of that stuff. So, and that has layers to it. That has a lot of layers of detrimental fatal conveniences, right? So you have, yes, an abundance of quote unquote food, but that food is also starving of nutrients, right? So it doesn't have the medium that it once had. It has dirt as opposed to soil and biomass, right? So we took systems of nature and we divorced them, and we started to chemicalize, pharmaceuticalize, industrialize our food production, which anyone knows that a good, certainly in the States, a pharmaceutical ad has a list of side effects, right? So once we divorce following nature, for example, regenerative practices, building soil, diversification of growing, all of these things does many things of building the biomass, building the nutrient density, building the strength of the plant. The plant then has more nutrients. It's more resilient to pests. And you can also mitigate that through other types of plants supporting each other. So that's a natural insecticides using plants appropriately. Then also the use of water. So 1% increase in biomass allows for thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons, actually 20,000 gallons more per acre is able to be drawn into the soil as opposed to being run off, right? So that mindset of industrialization with the divorcing of natural, I believe, common sense was beautiful at the time and well-meaning, right? Because we lost the foresight, because that's probably the bigger fatal convenience, is the acute choices without the understanding of the detrimental often effects that has, the ripple effect in the wrong way that has on the environment. So all of that is kind of the umbrella of almost every fatal convenience, where you're trying to produce something at a certain price point You're blasting it out in the world. It's virtually unregulated. You think it is, but it actually isn't. It only is regulated. Things only really change when the overwhelming amount of pressure or information or people finally push back, and then changes start to be made. Now, the UK, European Union, infinitely better at regulating some of the chemicals in some of these things. So anyway, I think that is the biggest, you know, from a physical side. I think the industrial farming side, from the non-physical side, it's the it's the make anything and we'll worry about the consequences later.
Yeah, the marshmallow effect, I think, comes in here. You know, the marshmallow test. You know, let's do it quick. I was thinking, like, could it be glass? You know, I was thinking, like, if you go back, like, how when did glass come into effect? Because obviously it blocks the wonderful light rays. Maybe it's causing more pollution inside the homes as we have fires going. Because I think we just had open portals before, you know. That was, I was trying to think to myself, like, what would be the one of the older facial conveniences? But yeah, no, I want to go deeply on some of these things. We're primarily breath work and wellness here. And so I wanted to ask you some stuff about respiratory bits and bobs. So any research or knowledge about the Vicks vapor rubs and the inhalers that you take, you know, to block your nose, Olbus oils and all that sort of stuff? Anything good or bad come up in your experience with those?
Yeah, I haven't dove specifically on that, but it comes from the same kind of idea. And that is, even over-the-counter things that you can buy, these are, you know, steroidal. They're kind of, again, it's a divorcing, it's a chemicalized, even if it's some sort of bronchodilator, right? It's those kind of things from a chemical perspective. Now, this is interesting because my good friend, Dr. David Edwards, who's a aerosol physicist. Yeah. He's an aerosol physicist, and what he developed was something that he calls FEND, F-E-N-D. It's a little spray bottle that all he really did was understand what the upper respiratory system really requires. And what it really requires is a type of saline solution that can then hydrate through the nasal passage. And so that's all he did was he created the formula. He tested it. He's a physicist. He does tests. And he got thrown into COVID because just by basically it's a nasal spray that's humidity with certain electrolytes. And so I'm addicted to it every day because when you feel the upper respiratory increase in hydration, you naturally, you lean towards that. And we know that when you increase the hydration of the upper respiratory, your oxygen saturation or your ability to receive more oxygen can go up to 30%. Yeah. So of course, breathing and training for breathing, that's a whole thing. Imagine then adding on top of it. Now, all he's really doing, he's mimicking that of an ocean spray. So if you're an islander, you live clear near the ocean, go walk on a beach because you're also hydrating the upper respiratory system, which is why during COVID, the last thing you want to do is lock yourself into a room without pure air, right? Without especially beaches and places where clearly that's safe, but that can absolutely, and I don't remember the exact studies of how well just hydration alone increased the body's ability to fight infection, but it was exceptional, right? Just by that hydration alone. So that's interesting to me because again, what is David doing? He's following nature and he's a scientist. So he didn't divorce nature to find out. He actually looked at nature, studied nature, amplified nature, and allowed us to recreate walking on a beach and taking the mist air from the ocean. That has no side effects, only upside, right? So it increases the high up respiratory system, decreases inflammation, increases oxygenation, increases your body's ability to receive more, and it just feels good without that crazy long list of side effects that, oh yeah, and it may kill you, like that kind of stuff. So that's an extraordinary kind of situation.
Yeah, you actually gave me a bottle of that in London. I won. You asked some questions in the audience, and I got one of the questions right. And I remember sampling that, and I did enjoy it. It was really. I'm not sure we can pick it up here in the UK. It might be on Amazon, but yeah, that was a good product. Keeping with this theme, then, man, I want to talk to you a bit about candles. And we threw all the candles away after I listened to one of your podcasts. Talk to us a bit about what's going on with the common candle, why it's a problem, and also maybe incense burners, essential oils, all that sort of jazz. If you give us a bit of a view.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, I'm going to do a deep dive on incense because, you know, candles, incense, all of these, what it's doing is like, you don't perceive it, but what is it burning off? Largely these candles are petroleum based. So you're aerosolizing petroleum. And how did it get there? Chemicalized soup in order for this candle to be created. So you're aerosolizing all of this stuff when you think you're doing a beautiful thing by using a candle, right? And of course that has links to asthma, respiratory issues, headaches, nausea in some severe cases. And the thing about most of this stuff is the majority of the people won't quote unquote notice it, right? But that's a bad way to look at it. You don't want to wait until an acute situation is debilitating you, because a lot of times the cumulative body burden is what kind of riddles all of these things. Are we saying the candle's going to kill you? Of course not. Are we saying the incense is going to kill you? Of course not. Not acutely, but it's causing you, and through the candle that it's releasing these volatile organic compounds, VOCs. So it's releasing this into your atmosphere. It's releasing it into your home. So then your home is also riddled with other chemicals. How many bleaches, detergents, stains, dyes, formaldehydes did it take to make your couch? Thousands. I'm just telling you, thousands, right? What was the original fiber that they used? Petroleum. If it's wrinkle-free, if it's stain-free, then that means it's PFAS. So it's this accumulative experience. So that candle, with the off-gassing of your room, your clothing, your incense, your candle, your cleaning products, it's all of these added up over time that we clearly now know that the indoor air quality in homes and offices are infinitely worse than outside, even in some cases, cities, but certainly not all cases, because cities are get red warnings every day. And if that, you know, if that oxygen level drops below 17, you have a low oxygen pandemic, and we're right at that point, right? If the oxygen saturation normally in the air, and the oxygen is also combating all of these chemicals, it's linking onto them and trying to create some sort of balance. So it's getting used up. And so when that gets used up by oversaturation of pollution as well, your available oxygen becomes a critical situation. So it goes from inside air quality, from all of these exposures to the candles, to the incense, to the perfumes, to the essential oils, the essential oils, that's one of the good things that you can, again, just blanketly saying, not all essential oils are created equal. How did they do that? What was the extraction process, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, infinitely a better choice than some fragrance that is hundreds of chemicals, usually proprietary, so they don't have to disclose their flow agents and other things that they concentrate that in. And those are riddled. We've seen so many of them, most of them full of endocrine disrupting and probable carcinogenic activity. And those are the things in the aerosolized world that you're shampooing with, you're conditioning with, you're lotioning with, you're even adding colognes and perfumes to yourself. So, but there's ways. There's always ways to celebrate, like I said, the with nature side of it. If you follow nature from a fragrance standpoint, essential oils can uplift your sense of well-being. It can lower stress and pull you in, help you pull back into parasympathetic dominance. So these kinds of things, like, you know, lavender is like the utility knife of essential oils. Like, this is it's a feel good, helps with the brain. It actually is great for cuts and scrapes and wound care and burns and stuff. So keeping lavender around, put it in a diffuser of, you know, I use distilled water, put some lavender in. Now I've all of a sudden diffused my room full of organic lavender. We all like spray. We all like the sense of nature, but that's recognizable to our deepest sense, right? When we're smelling that, it turns on aspects of our reptilian brains that the chemicalize. We know deeply. We've just gotten, you know, this is another big fatal convenience. It's the apathy we have bought into. We have stopped questioning. Now, listen, it's no one's fault, because we, you and I, are born into this. We didn't spray DDT on the crops in the 60s and 70s. That wasn't us, but we are. It's in our blood today, right? So we are dealing with this industrialized modern day world that's continuing to move, continuing to create, continuing to dominate, and with very, 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 very little testing of safety, right? And, you know, the 60 to 80,000 toxins are created every year and thrown, from a chemicalized standpoint, thrown into our environment. Of that, 1,500 are tested for any level of safety, and then none of them are tested as they interact with one another, and that's a dangerous game that we're playing.
Are we fucked as humanity? Do you look at all this and go, how are we going to pull ourselves out of this? You know, because you're doing a great job and this book's coming out and people are starting to wake up to it, but on the grand scheme of the whole planet of 8-9 billion people, a slither of them are waking up to this. But how does this change en masse these things? Because I'm, again, even I'm like, I'm listening to your podcast, I'm like, I'm still going to use some foil because it's convenient, you know, or fill in the blank. We bought a new mattress last year. It's a blinking memory foam. I've just read that they're bad for you. You're breathing all the crap at night on there. How do you stay positive in this, knowing all this? And where do you think we're headed in the future, like globally?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, one candle lights up a room. We don't need everybody to get it, but we just need a small percentage of people with awareness and making other choices. It's like anything. Do you want to just... I don't take the idea that we're fucked. I think we're doing some things that are insane, right? I think a lot of our systems are failing us. I think we are in systems that will not change if we don't make ourselves aware of them. So you and I could just have a conversation about a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't have to write this book. I was compelled to write the book because, you know, my father suffered from this in the 90s. He suffered from chemical sensitivity. I've been watching this for 30 years. I've been looking at this stuff for 30 years alongside my life of committing my life to health. And so it's as anything. It's like having a bad day with the spouse. Like what's the option? Like keep blaming each other, keep being angry, keep saying, well, if you would only change, we would be fine, and the other person saying the same thing. Well, that creates no change. That's silly. So my point is, I actually want the best life ever. I want that. And I want that for all humans. I want that for all animals. I literally, listen, people can say this is a delusion, and I will try the best I can for the rest of my life. And that's a life well spent from my perspective. So I want to have honest conversations. I'm not trying to demonize anybody or anything. They're just doing their thing. We actually have to work together. We actually have to work with the big boys, with the corporations, with the Kraft and Pepsi and Coke and McDonald's and Walmart's and Amazon. We have to work together. But they're not going to make the first move. They're not going to do it. We are. And what do we have? We have the numbers. We have nearly 8 billion of us, right? Granted, there's a few billion that are literally just trying to survive this life. And that is also a massive human failure, right? We talk about recycling doesn't exist. We failed, right? It's 5% of all of what you separate and try think you're recycling is not recycled. So you might as well just visually take out 95% of everything that you should think and should be recycled, just throw it on the ground, because eventually that's where it's going. I'm not saying to do that, still recycle, still do all those things, but that's eventually where it's going. So we have failed systems. I just want to face these so that we change them. Everything in the book, every failure convenience I have, there's always a solution. There is always a solution. Always. And those solutions are infinitely better than what we are discovering. And that's the thing. It's like, look at the fatal convenience of the medical system. I snap my leg running up the mountain. I want to go to, this medical system to fix my leg. I am not going to that same medical system to learn how to thrive in my life and to be healthy, right? That is not the system that was created for that. So we need to be aware. Let's face things honestly and go on, where is the real category for these things to exist? What do I want? What do we want as a community, as a family, as a global family? What do we want? I look at, the UN's global goals, and I'm like, okay, well, those have been goals for a very long time, and we're still failing at those too. There's great people doing great things, and sometimes these things are overwhelming and they're very complex. I get that, but I am not interested in just status quo. I'm just not into it. I'm not into it. I like these conversations and with you. I like conversations of your audience that care a lot. Clearly they're tuning into you because they're like, wow, there's some really good things I can do in breathing and awareness and consciousness and add to my life that's exponentially better than anything you could get in a drugstore or from a doctor, because the foundation of it all is key for it all. And then if we have an acute issue, then we reach out for those things. But we don't reach out for those people or those things before we've taken care of the common sense situation. Are we sleeping good? Are we eating good? Do we have good relationships? What is my environment? Or am I using clean products? Not cleaning products. Am I using clean products in my environment? Because the home is referenced also as the second skin. So if I do all this stuff and I go outside and I have a good workout and I come in, and now all my indoor air quality is just crap. Like, now I'm stressed myself. I think of all of this stuff as stress. Just think of it as stress. It's pollution on your ecosystem, your body, and it's pollution on the greater body of the world. This is where it all comes. These systems are either helping us or hurting us. There's no waste in the world. It is just a lack of understanding what it is and how to deal with it. That is, it's all it is. And it's a lack of effort, right? And so that's where I want to focus. You know, we have technologies thinking of like plastics, right? So you drink out of plastic. It also is neutering to your body and exposing you to phthalates and BPAs and a bunch of petroleum byproducts. So that's now in your water and you're consuming it. Not so good for your ecosystem. How it was created as petroleum and hundreds of chemicals to get that, you know, bottle to be shaped into anything and to get those phthalates, which are estrogen mimicking in your body, to get that plastic so it is malleable, all of that stuff and a whole lot more. In order to make that, it's polluting, right? So it's byproducts that end up in the environment. So just by the nature of that bottle's creation is detrimental. By you using it is detrimental. By you discarding it is detrimental. This is failed systems. So we have to deal with the waste. You know, 450 million tons of new plastic is created every year, right? We're well over 9 billion metric tons of plastic. All the plastic that's ever been created is still here. So what have we failed at? Well, we keep using something that is really convenient and super good at its job. But we're not truly looking at, it's starting to turn. There's some, obviously, people trying to do some better things, bigger companies using plant-based fibers instead of single-use plastic, polymers, and petroleum. Yes, I'm not saying there isn't movement. There is movement. But it comes by you and I. Don't give your kid plastic water bottles because it's affecting their endocrine system. It's affecting the boys' testosterone. It's affecting the girls' you know, going into puberty faster. It's shoving women into uncomfortable menopause. So all of these things are hijacking our innate body systems, right? So that's the way I look at this stuff. It's almost like, you know, we're doing all this stuff pretending it doesn't exist. And that, to me, going back to the relationship example, okay, how is that going to work out for your spouse? Your spouse just got on their hands and knees and said, hey, this is really bothering me. What's all this stuff? And you just blow them off and you don't even acknowledge them. That's what we're doing on a society level. Tell me how that's going to work out. How is that relationship going to work out for you? It's not. It's going to be distant. There's not going to be a lot of love there. There's going to be resentment. There's going to be anger. There's going to be fear. And it doesn't create closeness, doesn't create love, it doesn't create opportunity. So that's the same thing I look at all this stuff.
Your talk last year was it's pretty much the only thing I can draw upon from that summit. And it left me with such a profound feeling. And we had a baby like 4 months ago, our first kid. And so it was all, we knew we were pregnant at that point. So it was all relevant. So the minute I got back from the conference, we threw the deodorants away and we got some natural deodorants that were recommended at the conference. And so we've done a deep dive in this house. So big thank you. I think I'm so glad that you're not saying we're fucked, because I'm like, if this guy thinks we've got a chance and he spends a lot of his time looking at it, it gives, I think, a lot of us hope that we can dig our way out of this and make those choices. I would really love to get your thoughts on EMF, Bluetooth, and grounded, if you could group them together. I've got a grounding sheet. I interviewed Clint Ober a little while ago. If you ever seen the grounded movie, the Earth movie, what an awesome dude. We got the sheets, we've got the bits for our shoes, we're trying to be on the earth as much as possible. Is that a fatal convenience, trying to ground yourself at night, or is that us working more with nature to undo being disconnected from the planet?
It's free electrons that we share with nature from the earth. We need it. It discharges some of the polarization, right? So we electronics are polarized. It's polarization that's pinpointed and affects our biology. Nature has depolarized energy fields. So when we step on that, it depolarizes and pulls out and helps to literally ground us, because it pulls out all of those negative electrons out of our body. This, think of it as stress, right? So that's why we need to ground again. And so we're swimming in this polarized world of manufactured electromagnetic fields and frequencies. And again, we're just throwing ourselves in the middle of this.
I've got a German Shepherd downstairs. I don't know if you can detect the bark. She's freaking mental. She's just come back from doggy daycare. So I was going to try and get her up here. So she's just too crazy.
Oh, man. Amazing. Mine are like right out here sleeping.
Yeah, I just saw them. I saw them walking around. She's 2.5 years old, Frankie. She's far too clever, Dora. She can open the doors. She can get up and she gets the paw. I've not taught her this. She watched this and she gets both the paws and door, and she pulls the door open, or she can push it. We even have a stair gate and she figured out how to open the stair gate. But as they've told us, she's too clever. So she will only do commands for us if we give her food, because I'm not a very good dog trainer. So anyway, slight detour that I love her to bits. Maybe we could talk about dogs and fake inconveniences in a bit. But yeah, that's we can chop that out or leave it in.
Yeah, it's a good way to diversify our microbiome.
Yeah, he's licking my baby in the face, and I'm like, oh my god! But then I saw this thing about babies that grew up in the house with dogs are less likely to have autoimmune and asthmatic issues.
Yeah, as well as us, for sure, because it's a diversification of microbacteria, and we need it. That builds our immune system. That's how it started, and that's how it continues. So, the inoculation of being born. That's the first outside microbiological activity that baby received, right? Going through the birth canal and get in the dirt, man, and have a pet. And it's a great thing for your, and be careful. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying be careful with, the protocols of all these different types of vaccinations. You know, it's just too much. It's just too much. I realize that clearly we there's a need for some protocols with all that, but clearly we need to just settle down on that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was gonna ask, are you familiar with Dr. Chris Ryan, who wrote Sex at Dawn and Civilized Death? Yeah, so he's done my podcast on his, big fan of his, and he just reminded me something. He said that there were some cultures where when the baby was born, they would take a little bit of fecal matter from the mother and put it in the baby's mouth for the microbiome to get going. Obviously, say that to a doctor here, they'll lock you up for child abuse, but he just reminded me of that. And I was thinking, actually, he would be an interesting guest for you, not to go off topic too much, because he would argue that the fatal convenience that we have is civilization, modern civilization as a whole. And the book's really interesting about that. Yeah,
totally. 100%. Yeah, that was a really fascinating, especially as a monogamy and all of that stuff. Like, wow. It gets you healthfully questioning things, right? And then you always have to weigh things, as you look at fatal convenience, you have to weigh it against your life, for sure. Like, I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. I it's not my job. Like, I'm messaging something, take it or leave it. Yeah, it's not my job to. I'm not here to convince you of changing your deodorants. Like, that's on you. Here, I'll deliver some information. We have 20 researchers connected to our book. We have hundreds of research and fact checkers and consumption of information to write this book was so intense that I had to kind of stop to put certain parameters on each chapter, because each chapter, certainly the EMF chapter, was so huge, because I started going down the road of, well, when we first electrified our world, what was going on, right? And that amazing book, which is like, wow, The Invisible Rainbow by I think Arthur Brooks, I believe, The Invisible Rainbow. So he gets into the history of electrification. And we knew when we put up the first telegraph and the first phone lines that this was hurting the migratory patterns of certain animals and birds. And largely, they would make an argument that we wiped out, we endangered a particular bird, sparrow, which we have a lot of sparrows, but the red sparrow we wiped out as it relates to electrification and the electromagnetic fields affecting the migratory patterns of that animal or that bird in particular. And so then as you amp up, what have we been doing? We've just been electrifying everything. We've been 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, like all with the data of safety that's 20 years old. And like, wait a minute. If any business model did not update the current information, you would be out of business. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like, wait a minute. You have a different, certainly in the, you know, I don't have to go too far into this, but in the, you have a different wavelength, a millimeter wave with the 5G. 1G still is here. 2G still is here. 3G still is here. It's 4G. They're all still here. So what we've done, think of EMFs as more pollution that you just can't see. Think of it as a bunch more people showed up smoking, right, in your environment, right? So now that you have smoke everywhere. And the interesting thing is that the thing that surprised me, not the most, because I got 700 surprises in this book as I kind of pulled back more layers, as it relates to exposure of electromagnetic fields, and those things are smart devices, Wi-Fi routers, the cell phones, you know, even poorly managed and grounded wiring in your home, all of these things. What tends to happen is something very similar to exposures from endocrine disruptors and PFAS and everything. And there's basically a few categories where exposure, and this is all over the literature, actually, Andrew Huberman and I ran into each other maybe like a month ago, and he said he just started getting into EMFs, and we had this whole thing. He goes, I just finished my chapter on this stuff. And he goes, yeah, I think I'm never putting my phone in my pocket again, because what it's showing is proximity is a big deal. So if you take away anything, the proximity of your devices, your tablets, your children's, your children being proximity, your Wi-Fi routers, all of this stuff, and then your cell phones on your body, is a really, really bad idea. And how it shows up is huge reports, over 20 years of reports of gliomas, so brain tumors, right? This is no joke. This is all over the research, right? And then an alarming thing that I did not know was the blood-brain barrier, which is so critical for health. And it's similar to like the barrier of the digestion. When the digestion gets off or gets exposed to glyphosate or antibiotics or stress or whatever, it can open up that cell wall and allow for food particles and things that aren't broken down enough, cause inflammation, cause food sensitivities, food allergies, all of that stuff. Well, the EMF exposure is opening up the blood-brain barrier. They're showing this type of protein that circulates naturally in the body, albumin, is showing up in the brain. And this is causing all kinds of issues and inflammatory responses because it's not supposed to be there. The body has a really hard time and reactive time when things are in an area where they're not supposed to be. So those channels starting to open up as a result of all these electromagnetic fields. Also, very clearly in the research. Again, the caveat is we need more freaking research. So are all of these things. You could probably find research for everything. Oh, they're safe. Well, of course. The conflicts of interest in the telecommunications company is over 75%. So over 75% of the studies are compromised in one way because they're funded by the telecommunications company. So it's very tricky. I had to stop with the EMF chapter because I would spend weekends and months just consuming this information and then just trying to kind of zero it in. But the things that were across the board, and I think Andrew even Huberman even talked about this, the blood brain barrier, the free radical oxygen species, so you're creating stress and the free radicals are increasing, and then immune compromising. And then the fourth thing is similar to EDCs, endocrine disruptors, lowering testosterone in males and creating deregulation or more endocrine disrupting activity in the hormonal system. So I'm like it's as if we're being exposed to a chemical. And so that's scary as hell. And so that's why, you know, when I did my talk last year, I was like, let me just loft this out because I was deep into the book at the time. Let me just see how people hear this because I'm seeing all these devices and all these things people putting in their heads. Like first off, plug back in, man. If you plug everything back in, everything works better. Even you can plug your phone back in. You can just get hardware off of the routers, shut off the Wi-Fi router or the Wi-Fi signal, plug it back in. Everything works better, right? You're largely working from the same place anyway. So just figure out, bring a line to it and plug back in, right? Without a doubt, turn the Wi-Fi off at night completely in your home. And even better, unplug everything, television sets, all that stuff that's in the rooms, gaming devices. Oh my God, no one's going to get rid of them, but unplug them because there's a huge amount of electromagnetic radiation coming off of gaming devices and people staring at those and practically sitting on them all day for hours. So from the EMF, and then just to touch on the Bluetooth, there is no clear data on Bluetooth. But here's what I can deduce from it. It's the same frequency of your cell phone receiving. It's just not at the same amplitude. It's just not flowing as strongly. But you're putting it in your cranium and you're keeping it there for long periods of time. So again, think of it as stress. You're causing unnecessary stress when all you really need to do is plug it back in. You know, so that's where I go, just common sense. Again, if someone's going to argue with me about Bluetooth, I don't have time. Do whatever you want. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to, I've just gathered years and years of research. I've interviewed incredible researchers, and I created a book. Do with it what you want. Burn it if you want. But I guarantee you, open up this book in any page, you're going to learn something, most likely. And then you can apply it. You don't have to be perfect. It's just applying these things so that your biological being that is physical and here, right? We are here. We are in this field of consciousness, and it is physical. And these waves and these chemicals and these things are also physical. They are affecting you whether you're sensitive or not sensitive. You are being stressed by them. It is pollution. And that pollution is causing more and more side effects, right? That's really the name of the game. So I want conversations like this. I want your listeners to go, wow, I'm overwhelmed. I get that. But this is something that is upon us. This is something that if I was a Surgeon General, it never would be here, right? But I'm not. So we need to have conversations just like you, your precious little baby. Like, do your damnedest to go, I don't need disposable diapers made out of plastic and petroleum to put on my precious genitals and precious fresh skin of my baby. That is insane. It's absolute. And then absorbency, the different materials that they use for that, the fragrances, the moisturizers, all of this stuff is hundreds of chemicals on your baby, right? And they're wearing it all day. So what's the solution? Let's celebrate it. What's the solution? Buy some, if possible, organic cotton diapers that are not colored or bleached or whatever. They're natural. And then just buy a bunch of them. And then that's it. You just wash them. You don't have to keep buying a bunch. You don't have to go, you know, just wash them. Good old fashioned. And if you need to bleach them, if you need to clean them a little more, hydrogen peroxide's awesome. Right. So, you know, this is like, and I'm not saying get rid of your washer. I'm not saying go to the river and scrub these out. Like, we don't have to, I'm not saying I didn't get rid of my phone, but I'm using things and I'm mitigating stress so that I can live the best. So did I show up to the health optimization summit? Yeah. Was I in a hotel room that had 50 Wi-Fi routers that were blasting me all day? Yeah. 100%, but I'm not living in that all the time. I'm still living, but my home, the things that I can control, I'm absolutely controlling.
Yeah. The way I kind of interpret it in my mind is it's almost like everything that's bombarding us, it's like death by a thousand cuts. Said, one thing isn't necessarily going to kill us if I light a candle, but it's just another slice on the immune system or the endocrine system, and there's a thousand or 10,000 of them. Just a quick question about, I want to just talk to you about breathing for the last couple of minutes, but just a quick one about your headphones. So I threw away my Bluetooth after the health summit, and I went back to wired, and then somebody told me the problem with the wired ones is if you've got your laptop on and you plugged it in, you're then channeling electricity up to the brain. Have you come across anything there?
Yes, it is true. There's great ones that actually mine just failed. There's air tubes. So you still hear. So the air tubes disrupt the conduction of the rest. Clearly, it's better than having a cell phone up to your head and all that stuff. Anything, even your phone, when it's plugged in and you're holding it, when your laptop is plugged in and you're using it, there's just that much more electromagnetic radiation as the result of it. So just be aware of those kinds of things. So air tubes are great. I know a couple companies in the UK, Conscious Spaces has some air tubes. They're around. And then here in the US, this company called Tech Wellness has some great air tubes. So, and these things are, it's great. You know, they work just as good. And it's just, again, it's just one other level. And you brought up a big point, and that is because of that. If you have one water droplet hitting you on the forehead all day, this makes people go mad, right? So it's one droplet of your daily habits of exposure to bad moisturizers, colognes, you know, deodorants, beauty products, all of this stuff. So just, I think the way I will say this is before we get into the rest is go in and to out. So as you're implementing things, you're drinking water, right? Filter your water, RO, distillation, filter that water. If you have access to good, clean, river-tested spring water, then of course that's number one. Use glass, eat, you know, lower the ultra-processed food. Don't wrap your food with plastics or takeaway containers. That plastic is then getting in. So that's the idea. And then what you're putting on your skin and all that stuff. So go from in to out and start implementing these things.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that the dishwasher tablets and the glass cleaner is ruining our gut biome and the barrier in the gut as well. So that's like another thing to look at. It's never ending. So I can't wait to read this book. I think I want to thank you for putting the time in to make this, because I think it's going to impact a lot of people's lives. When's it out? Where can people get it?
May 16th on all platforms, you know, like Amazon, Barnes and Noble, every place. Yep.
Wonderful. So I'll make sure that's linked down below. I think we're releasing this on that day, actually, Darren, so it will be a good hit. So we can all go out and get the book after that. So I just want to pick your brains for just the last minute or two about the breath. So I think we had a little chat about this when we were in London, but just give me a bit about like who have been your heroes when it comes to breathing, what techniques maybe you use. I've been watching some of your stuff on YouTube where you've been opening up the sinuses. I do that now. I've got a little extra technique though. I'll lift up the nose as well. Nice. I call it pig nose. You know, you get the pig nose
good.
Going.
That's
especially
good.
When I'm doing cardio, I will just open it all up so I can recover just doing that. So just a little whirlwind, if you won't mind. What the breath means to you, and maybe what your kind of current techniques are that you're using.
Yeah, good. You know, I've been doing this for probably a better part of a decade, and I gotta say, you know, having done yoga for the years and Kundalini yoga, a lot of breath work 20 years ago, that was always attractive to me, because you know, altered states of consciousness and also just down regulate. So then really when Wim came along and got to meet him in the early days, he came out, Gabby Reese, Laird Hamilton, a bunch of my buddies here in California, we really got to dive in. And so we did this for hours. Like it was a little too much. We would breathe literally for hours. And then we would do it to the point of increase lactic acid like crazy by doing horse stance. And then how can we transcend it? So we were really pushing the envelopes as much as possible. You know, for me, I virtually do it twice. In the morning, I find that it, you know, when I do my meditations and then into journaling, I'll do in the nose, out the mouth in a, you know, system in a not a stop start system, so like a piston that's just constantly going. So in the nose, out the mouth, and then I'll do a few, like probably like three rounds of that. It just shuts the brain down. I go into meditation. It's just a great way to hyperoxygenate the body. And what I really love is down regulating. I just did this on the beach with a bunch of people that came by. I love doing really intense workouts and going right into breathing and shifting, like literally downshifting how quickly you can recover, and the state of change that you feel is exceptional. And everyone experiences that. So really intense. We're pulling things, we're throwing things, we're sprinting. And then we all, I mean, we didn't spaz out, but we laid down, and then I just took them all on this. And so we did four rounds, and we did the first round in the nose, out the mouth, but then in the mouth, out the mouth, about 40 rounds, four times. And you're a different person. We all know this. You know this, your crowd that's doing it is a different person, but I really appreciate it. After that kind of sympathetic lactic acid load, hyperoxygenate helps to recover, helps to pull out that lactic acid. So it has many dual responses from working out into that. Plus, once you kind of get there in that fourth round, you're in another state. You're kind of like just feeling the best ever. And you're already now massively in the recovery part of your workout zone at that point. So those are the top kind of two places I really, really love to use the breath work.
Love it. Darren, I appreciate you. I appreciate the important work you're doing. Thank you so much. Are you in London again this year? Are you coming back?
I think I'm jammed with this book, and I've got some other TV projects that I'm doing, a new TV show that I've been working on. So
look forward to it. Yeah, okay. We'll get the message out here. We've got a good crowd here that like to be healthy, so they're going to want to hear this. So thank you so much. and maybe see you again another time. And I appreciate you and everything you're doing. Cheers.
Thanks, Mike. Great to see you.
Thank you, Darren. Take care. Bye-bye, mate.
Hey, thank you for sticking around to the end. I appreciate you, you one and only person. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this. What did you think? Pop some comments down below if you're on YouTube. Let me know what you thought about some of the things he said. It opened the door to me to a rabbit hole of things which I'd accepted to be normal in life, like cling film, like plastic Christmas trees, like lighting candles because they're all so romantic and cool, not realizing the damages they were doing, like chlorine swimming pools. I don't know if we spoke about that on there, but you'll see that on his thing, on his podcast, Fatal Conveniences. It's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. He said on one of his podcasts, actually, going in a normal swimming pool with chlorine is like sprinting towards cancer. And I don't know, just those words just stuck with me. So check out his book, Doran O'Lean. You can go to Instagram, Doran O'Lean, D-A-R-I-N-O-L-I-E-N. The link is down below. Check out his podcast as well. Yeah, interesting one. As a reminder, this podcast was made possible and sponsored by our friends over at The Breath Source. The link is down below. Get started today for free. The world's first truly co-creative platform where you've got such an array of breathwork instructors all teaching their own flavor of breathing. So you can learn so much. I've learned so much from so many different instructors on there as well. It's ace. It's really ace. Get started for free or for a couple of dollars a week. Unlock everything. And there's so much more coming. I'm seeing the designs. I'm seeing what it's going to look like next year as well. It already looks ace, but there's so much more interaction coming. The plan to just be the world's greatest wellness app. It's coming. And you can get started right now after this by clicking that link and coming to breathe with me and all my friends over there as well. I think that's all. There's loads more ace guests we've got coming. If you like this one and you want to let me know who else you'd like on the Breathcast, pop the link down below. Let me know who that person is. And if you've got a question or something you're unsure about, let us know as well. I can yabber all day. You know I can. So I'm going to draw it here and say, I appreciate you. I'm really grateful for you. You know, we're pushing over 100 episodes now. And some of you have listened to all of them, which is just incredible. So thank you so much. And if you haven't, then you've got a lovely backlog of stuff you can get stuck into. We're in a wonderful place. It's a wonderful time to be alive. It's a great time to breathe. It's a great time to learn about the power of breath work. It's no longer woo-woo. We're in that wonderful place now where people are like, oh, I've heard of it. And so we're part of this wonderful community. Anyway, I will stop talking now because I'll just keep talking. I'll keep talking. What else? I can go for 10 more minutes. I'll stop now and say thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next episode. So if you're on YouTube, you can click here and you can try a breathing exercise and come and breathe with me right now. Or you can click here and you can listen to another Breathcast. Or click the link down below and go over to the Breath Source. And I'll see you on one of these things soon. Cheers, everyone.